This is Hampton Roads Topics. Good morning and welcome to this Community Affairs segment for Hampton Roads. I'm Jim Long. The program website is hamptonroadstopics.blogspot.com. On that site, you'll find information about past and upcoming shows, and you can download the latest podcast. Today, our topic is the Beacon of Hope 5K Run Walk. It's happening Sunday, May 20th at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront. The event is organized to benefit a local organization, I Need a Lighthouse. With me in studio today is the group's founder, Kathy Wakefield. And returning to the program, Elaine Roberts, founder of the Still Standing Surviving Suicide Support Group. Kathy and Elaine, thank you for being on Hampton Roads Topics. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And so let's talk about the Beacon of Hope 5K Run Walk. Now, Kathy, this is something that started a couple of years ago in Virginia Beach, and this is benefiting your organization. So tell me some more about it, then.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. This is the 5th annual Beacon of Hope Run Walk, 1 Mile Memory Walk. They'll be held Sunday, May 20th. At 24th Street Park, Virginia Beach Oceanfront. Mm-hmm. And the unique part of this race is it is chip time if you're the true runner. You can walk the 5K. We also have a 1 mile memory walk. And we're really this year having an expanded family fun event. So the whole family, grandparents included, mm-hmm. can come out and enjoy a variety.
Now, when you say expanded family event, what are you referring to?
Oh, gosh, we're going to have cornhole, face painting, bounce house, and a couple of other surprises.
Okay. Once again, this happens at the oceanfront on May the 20th. That's a Sunday. Is there a registration deadline to get your name into the pot for this?
Yes, and thank you for asking that. We need all the registrations pretty much by Sunday, May 6th, so we can get the T-shirt order in. You know, it's all about the T-shirt, too. So you can certainly register even the day of the event, but to be guaranteed a T-shirt, please register in a timely fashion. Everything is on the website. It's very easy to walk through that. And our website is all one word, ineedalighthouse.org.
ineedalighthouse.org. That's the website, the web address for the I Need a Lighthouse group. And that's the group's founder, Kathy Wakefield. With me also today in studio is Elaine Roberts. She was on the program a few weeks ago to talk about this support group she had just started called Still Standing Surviving Suicide Support Group. And so let's talk about why you are here today. Now, certainly you're here to talk about the event you're publicizing. But this is all to support suicide prevention efforts in Hampton Roads. You are both here today as survivors of suicide. And if I could just talk to you a bit about that, what led you to be here today to talk about this? And I'll turn my attention first to Elaine.
Well, Kathy and I are both mothers who lost children. I lost my 15-year-old daughter, Kyla, in ninth grade in 2004. And a mutual friend of Kathy's mine said that we had to meet, and we did that in 2006. Mm-hmm. And we decided to start an event, a walk run, so that whether you're a runner or a walker, you could come out and you could learn about the signs of depression to prevent suicide and to make it an event that included the whole family, because that's important to have fun-based activities as well. And so this is our 5th year, like Kathy said,
right,
holding this event.
Now, these there are a number of charity run walk events in Hampton Roads, and this is a chance. Well, certainly you get the runners out, and runners will find any excuse to get out onto the course, especially if there's a time involved for improving their own time. But this, for you, it's a chance also to educate the public about depression, about recognizing the signs of potential suicide. And going into your 5th year now, have you found that the people you interact with at the Beacon of Hope Run Walk, are they receptive? Do they get it, so to speak?
Yes, Kathy and I believe that they do. I mm-hmm. mean, we get teams that are formed in memory of a lost
right.
loved one to suicide, as well as teams that want to run together and make a difference, and then runners mm-hmm. That participate in a lot of different runs in the area. And what's wonderful is all the money stays right here. I Need a Lighthouse is a local nonprofit that goes to educating our teens and young people right here in Hampton Roads, and Kathy can speak to that in her programs.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's go ahead and do some more of that. Tell me some more about I Need a Lighthouse.
Well, thanks, Jim. I Need a Lighthouse is locally based, as Lane said. All funds stay right here in Virginia Beach to support the race. We raise all our own funds through events such as this and grants. And currently, I Need a Lighthouse speaks to ninth graders in the fall in a school-wide assembly to educate them on the signs and symptoms of depression and how to prevent suicide. And the bottom line in our message is, get a trusted adult involved immediately so you can get the professional help you need for this disease called depression.
I was going to ask about your outreach efforts in the local school system, in Virginia Beach in particular. So this is something you do for the ninth graders. Tell me more about that, if you would.
Well, based on student evaluations, we were previously doing it in 10th grade at the end of the year, and the students said, this is great, but we need it in 9th grade. We're halfway through high school. And based on that, when we went back to the school system, they heard it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it is in the 9th grade. And we actually had a call from a mother a couple weeks ago saying that her daughter was in treatment based on what she'd learned in the program. She had the skills and the knowledge to say, Mom, help me. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, Mom did.
It's interesting the way you say that it was the students who suggested you move your presentation from 10th grade to 9th grade. What was it about that led to that?
Well, I think we're pretty courageous that we actually give evaluations to the students.
Okay.
No names. But they have been very powerful in what their suggestions are. We get a couple of random ones off the charts, but most of them give us good information. Mm-hmm. We wanted earlier. And they wanted music and videos, and we've worked on embedding those in there, too. So we're constantly changing based on the needs of the students. It's the program's for them.
Okay.
And we can't change it and make it good for them unless they tell us what to do.
Right. So you're getting feedback from the students, and the event is a requirement now for ninth graders in Virginia Beach Public Schools. Do I have that correct?
The assembly is not this event. I wish this event was.
Right. Yeah, I should say, yes, the assembly we're talking about, the presentation you make to ninth graders. So tell me about the presentations you make. You do this in the local high schools, and what is it exactly?
Yes, and we do it under the umbrella of the best practices. We have a local clinical psychologist that oversees every single thing we do. So we have the advice from the experts as to what is the best medium and what we should be saying to this fragile age group. And we have... very briefly, our own story, which is a hook, so they know we're walking the walk and talking the talk. Mm-hmm. And then we start telling about depression, signs and symptoms, and that it is something that affects all of us, but to the degree that it might go on past 2 weeks, that's when the intervention's needed and the professional help.
Okay.
We even lighten it up with a game that serves as a review purpose and just really try to be sensitive to the needs of what this ninth grade audience.
Okay, so it's not just a big PowerPoint presentation with a video embedded. You actually have audience participation, don't you?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand about education, that's really the key to making a connection with the student, especially somebody at 14, 15 years of age, is making it relatable to the people you're talking to.
Well, absolutely. And I had the privilege of teaching in the Virginia Beach school system for over 30 years, so education is my ballywhack. And I firmly believe that...
Now, there's a word I haven't heard in a long time.
Uh-oh, did I date myself?
Said like an educator. I'm sorry. Excuse my interruption. Go ahead.
That's okay. But our tagline is education plus awareness will equal prevention.
Okay. And, and you've been doing this presentation in schools for how long now?
Well, ninth grade just this past year, where we reached over 5,700 students. But I've been doing presentations in the Virginia Beach schools for over 5 years.
It's only Virginia Beach, you said. You told me off the air.
Oh, yes. But we will go to any Hampton Roads school system and would love, if any listeners out there, please contact me through the website, ineedalighthouse.org, and we would love to get a dialogue going.
Okay. So, yeah, if you have a child in another school system in Hampton Roads, and you're hearing Kathy talk about I Need a Lighthouse, and you think maybe this is something that would work for the children in your public school, maybe you could reach out to Kathy. And by the way, the web address is, once again, ineedalighthouse.org. Speaking on Hampton Roads topics today with Kathy Wakefield and Elaine Roberts, we're talking about the upcoming Beacon of Hope 5K Run Walk, which happens on Sunday, May 20th at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront. Details about this run walk are available, again, at the website, ineedalighthouse.org. And so you're targeting children, which you've described as more vulnerable, and you tell me that they're receptive. Do you have a sense, then, that the message is being heard, Kathy?
I really do think it is, and I just love the youth, and they get it, and they want to raise some of the shame and stigma associated with depression and suicide. So, you know, they're our future. They're our hope. They are our beacon of hope.
Right.
Hence the name.
Okay, right. And you're not only speaking to school-age children about their own signs of depression, but you're also educating them about potential signs of depression, suicidal possibilities in some of their family members, aren't you?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can get the teen, all of us crave to have conversational times with our teens. And so if they tell you about the program, or they can be alert to what's going on with mom, dad, extended family members, and so forth, because they've been educated. They know the signs and symptoms and what to look for. And importantly, too, they know the subtle signs, which always aren't so clear. Part of the problem with this depression, Jim, is that it manifests differently in all of us. It's a very, very difficult disease to diagnose.
But it is a disease, and it is treatable.
Absolutely. But you got to get the treatment.
You got to get
your best
treatment.
Friend can't be your therapist.
That's true. And Lane said something to me off the air that I thought spoke volumes about this. Your daughter, Kyla, took her life at age 15.
That's correct. A ninth grader.
You said that if she had been through this awareness program, as presented by I Need a Lighthouse, you think it would have made a difference?
Oh, I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Her friends, she told her friends that she was going to take her life, but she had talked about it so much, and not just kids, but adults think it's a myth that if you talk about it, you won't do it. A fact is that if you're talking about it, you're trying to normalize it in your mind, that it's that to get the courage to do it, or that it's okay. So what Kathy teaches in her programs is that that's a definite alert if they're talking about suicide, and that they need to contact a professional, a counselor, the children's parents, you know, a trusted adult, immediately. You cannot wait. The night before Kyla took her life, she was talking about it. I could have received a call that night, but her friends did not know what to do with this information, and so I Need a Lighthouse is teaching them what to do with this information. They'll have it for the rest of their lives. By the next day, and an adult was in, it was a friend's aunt, and she was there and said to Kyla, "Oh gosh, Kyla, don't talk like that." Well, instead of calling me immediately, she told her brother the next day, Kyla's talking about suicide. Well, it was too late. Kyla had already taken her life by then. So the message is, you must get alert people immediately when someone is talking about suicide, and you must not wait. You cannot wait. And there is like a two-step procedure that we teach, and that's if you think someone's suicidal, you must ask them the question directly. You don't say, "Well, you wouldn't kill yourself, would you?" Because what are they going to say then? Who knows? They might say no. Say, "Are you thinking about suicide?" And then wait. Wait for the answer. Don't fill in the vacuum of silence. Wait. And maybe they'll be comfortable enough, and they just might tell you the truth. Yes. If that is the truth. And then the second thing, if they say yes, is you ask, do you have a plan? Because if you have a plan, if they have a plan, mm-hmm. you cannot wait at all. And Kathy can address that with hotline numbers, et cetera.
Right, yeah. You do have phone numbers available for people who do need somebody to talk to, don't you?
Yes, there's the national hotline numbers, 1-800-27-TALK. Here locally, we recommend calling VB Psych, which is 627-LIFE-5433. The unique thing about VB Psych, it's here locally, and they are trained mental health professionals on the lines 24/7. As Elaine said, if they have a plan, call 911 immediately. Get help. And often with teens, they feel like they can't rat their friend out or tell what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And we say it's better to have a mad friend than a dead friend. You must take action.
Okay, so if a friend has said something to the effect of, "I want to kill myself," what should that friend then do? Who should they contact?
Well, if they have the means or the plan, they need to call 911 immediately and then get the adult in that person's life involved. You don't play around with it.
An adult involved. It could be just any, could you say call 911. So you're actually reaching out to law enforcement or a rescue personnel.
Right. Okay. And when you call 911, ask for a CIT officer, crisis intervention trained. Hampton Roads has many of the police forces trained on that, and they respond to the mental health crisis emergency. So if they've got the pills right there or whatever means they're planned to use, you call 911, and then certainly you get a trusted adult in that child's life.
And the point I take from what Elaine was saying is that you have to take that comment seriously. You can't just brush it off as somebody joking around. If they say suicide, you have to act on their behalf, don't you?
Yes, a young person came up to us a couple years ago after a presentation. You need to put in there, never doubt or dare a person that has said that word, and we use it.
And it's my understanding that teachers are trained or required to respond to these sorts of things as well, aren't they?
Yes, in the school system, if they hear harm to self or others, they must get guidance
right.
involved immediately, and it's completely taken over with guidance,
okay.
and there's protocol in the school system
but,
for that.
Yeah, so they are, a reporting agent, I think that's the right term, but you're trained to do that, but... You know, adults, anybody else who hasn't had that experience, they don't know. They don't know how to react to a statement that seems suicidal. And so, again, the point would be you have to act in some fashion. You have to contact a professional to get help before it's too late. Once again, we're talking today with Kathy Wakefield and Elaine Roberts. They are representing an organization called I Need a Lighthouse. They are organizing a 5K run walk at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront on May 20th. You can find out details about the organization and about the run walk at ineedalighthouse.org. Now, besides the run walk, you have another event coming up on the 30th, some sort of a mini-conference you would tell me about, Elaine. What is that exactly?
Yes, we have a mini-conference at the Virginia Beach Resort Hotel and Conference Center, and it's from 5:30 to 7:30. It's for students, teachers, mental health professionals, and all others who work and live with teens in our community. And we are honored to have Dr. Paul Aravich with EVMS as keynote speaker. He's helped us out for many years, and he'll be talking about the universe between our ears, and then there will be a panel discussion of professionals afterwards, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions and get answers.
Okay. How many? How could a person then decide to attend and register for this?
Well, it's a fee of $10, and Kathy, how do they register for that?
Once again, you go to the ineedalighthouse.org website.
Okay.
Students and their advisors, teachers, are at no cost, but okay. other community members are asked to pay $10.
And besides being on the radio with me this morning, how are you spreading the word about this conference?
Every which way we can.
Every way. You know, going to the schools, flyers at the schools, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Contacting the psychology teachers primarily. Mm-hmm. And Facebook.
Okay. And are we talking public schools? Are we going out to the private schools in the area?
Anyone and everyone.
Any venue you can find.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is this the first time you've done something like this, by the way?
This is the fifth year.
Okay. Fifth year doing it. I've asked you about the response to the run walk and how that has gone over the last 5 years. So how about these conferences? How are they doing? What sort of attention are you getting at these conferences? So I'll take the answer from either one of you.
They're doing very well. We have a nice mix of students and community health professionals that attend, and it gives me cold shivers to see these students particularly that are so interested in learning about mental health. They're not afraid of it. They're progressive. They're willing to do something about it. They are going to be the change makers in our future.
Isn't that interesting? And, you know, it occurs to me now that there's such a discussion now on combating bullying in our schools and how bullying dovetails with depression in many cases. And so is that something you address in your presentation or any of the interactions you do with I Need a Lighthouse?
We address it very briefly. And, Jim, what's really encouraging, once again, from student input, we did address it in more depth, but students said, you know, we understand bullying. We get it. So I think the middle schools and elementary schools are doing a fantastic job of educating with that. We just relate it to that students that are bullied have a higher incidence of depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, that's a direct correlation then, obviously. But you say that the school, that children, middle and elementary school age children, seem to get it. They understand bullying and what it looks like and who to tell if there's a bully around.
That is the input that we have received from the students, and I say kudos to the schools for addressing it so well.
Good to know. Now, again, the web address for this organization is ineedalighthouse.org. My name is Jim Long. Thanks for listening on this Sunday morning as I talk with Kathy Wakefield and Elaine Roberts. I get from both of you that we've made some progress in educating the public about trying to prevent suicide. But from your own website, Kathy, every year in the U.S., more than 30,000 lives are cut short by suicide. We're making progress, but there's still a lot to be done, obviously.
Yes, Jim, we are making great progress. And also what needs to be addressed is, too, is the number of attempts that have been reported. And it's huge. It's over a million. And how many have gone untreated? So it's a huge problem. It's called the silent epidemic because people do not want to talk about it. And unfortunately, Elaine and I have no choice but to talk about it.
Right. And, well, we used that term earlier in the program. You are both survivors of suicide. Speak to that just a bit. The suicidal person isn't just affecting his or her own life. They're affecting everyone around them, aren't they?
Correct. It's like a bomb's gone off. The residual effect is huge and powerful. And it's really important for the survivors to get help and treatment afterwards, too, from a mental health professional. This is any time there's a death or a loss, it's important to get the professional help you need. But this is something that I personally think you cannot walk through alone.
Well, Elaine, last time you were on the program, you spoke of in the months after Kyla died that you felt raw and uncomfortable for months, as I recall. What was it that helped get you through that period?
Well, absolutely my faith. Mm-hmm. You know, in the morning I would recommend, well, for myself, this is what worked. You put your feet on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I would say, God, what are we going to do today? And you have to get out of bed. You have to put your feet on the floor. You have to take one step at a time. A support group absolutely helped me to be with others who understood this pain, because we've lost loved ones who thought they could kill the pain, but they took the wrong choice to end their life. There are other ways to get rid of the pain, and that's through professional help. But when they take their lives to kill the pain, they are passing it on to all those who love them. And so it's a pain you live with the rest of your life. And I think that's so Kathy and I, as mothers who have lost children, we just don't want this to happen to anyone else. And that's why we have such a passion for getting the word out. At the event Beacon of Hope, there is a memory wall.
Okay.
And we invite others to bring copies, no originals, of anyone they've lost to suicide. And there'll be an opportunity to write on index cards, notes, and put them up. And that seems to help, because survivors do not want their loved one's name to stop being said. Or they want people to still be able to talk about them. I would always talk about Kyla. Any opportunity. I'm sure Kathy was the same way with Jake. And if you're in a group and you used to tell Kyla or Jake stories or this or that, I found out that after she took her life, it made people uncomfortable because they did not know how to handle that. So then I became silent, except with especially close friends who could handle it. And a group gives you that opportunity to still talk about your child, because they are still very much part of our lives. Neither one of us, the pain that we've had, and others from losing a loved one, we'd still say, I'll take Kyla for 15 years. Kathy would say, I'll take Jake for his 21 years. We still want them, and would even with the loss of them. But now we know things that we could do to prevent it. And that's why we have these events, to help educate the community.
And you told me a minute ago, Elaine, is that I think it was 2 years after Kyla took her life. It was you were introduced to Kathy through a mutual friend. I believe that was
correct. Right.
Yeah, and so upon this connection, you had, was there a bond right off the bat there that you both had a common cause?
Tragically, there was. Any time you meet someone that has lost a loved one to suicide, there's just an immediate connect there,
yeah,
because you understand the pain. Suicide is an unimaginable loss. You get through it, you never get over it.
Right. Did you go through the same thing Elaine did? Was that Jake's name was, you didn't hear it a lot from other people for a while?
Yeah, it makes other people uncomfortable, mm-hmm, because they're out of their box with comfort. It, mm-hmm, and the death of a child certainly is out of order. You know, it's, mm-hmm, supposed to be the older people.
Okay.
Through natural causes,
okay,
and certainly.
Well, looking back on it, now it's been since, I think, 2001, is
correct,
that right? Looking back on it, do you see things you might have handled differently after Jake's death, how you interacted with people, that maybe you could have done better?
I think you can always do better,
yeah,
but it wasn't that difficult of a voyage. I was blessed to have supportive friends.
Okay. And from what Elaine has said, that seems like it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does I Need a Lighthouse provide to people who are both dealing with the symptoms of depression and even those who, like you, are survivors of suicide?
Well, Jim, we're on the front end of it. We're all about,
okay,
prevention. So we are giving the information out, the signs and symptoms of depression, mm-hmm, and suicide. If someone wants to contact us, we give them numbers and we refer it out. We are the educators,
okay,
and we will refer to appropriate mental health facilities, mm-hmm, within the community.
Okay. Well, let me, that's a perfect segue then to talk to Elaine about her support group, Still Standing, which you founded just recently. Last time we talked, you were getting ready for your second meeting. So how are things going now?
Well, at the first meeting, we had six plus the therapist, Charlie Liggio, First Colonial Psychotherapy Services, he's terrific, mm-hmm, and I were there. Second meeting, we had 12 survivors come. It'll be interesting to see how many come to our third meeting next week. It's
okay,
next Tuesday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock at Spring Branch Community Church in Virginia Beach.
And you meet once a month, is that right?
Second Tuesday of each month.
Okay.
And this Tuesday will be our meeting before Mother's Day.
Okay.
And I know that's going to be particularly hard for those who are mothers and for Kathy and I as well. It's a tough day to get through. So we'll be talking about how to maneuver through that holiday.
Okay. And how do you plan on addressing that, by the way? How do you plan on meeting Mother's Day this year,
Elaine? Personally?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I know till I get there.
Okay.
Some people, because if they have extended family members, I don't have family here in Hampton Roads. There is a way that they have, and if they have children, of course, other children. I have no other children. Kathy was my only child. I mean, Kyla was my only child. They have to plan accordingly because it involves other people. For me, I'll probably figure it out when I wake up.
Which is how you described early on, how you dealt with every day, just putting your feet on the floor and saying, what am I going to do today?
That's right.
Kathy, same question to you. Any special plans for Mother's Day this year?
Well, start out with church, and
yeah,
then, like Lane said, the rest of the day is uncharted.
Okay. But you do have you plan to make a plan, in other words, right? We are running short on time with the program today. We should wrap up with just reiterating the facts about the upcoming Beacon of Hope 5K Run Walk, which is happening on May 20th at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront. They still need sponsors. It's not too late to find a sponsorship if you want one with I Need a Lighthouse. Go to their website, ineedalighthouse.org. Also, it involves a one-mile memory walk. There is a 5K Run Walk, which you can register for the day of the event or in advance by going to the website. And we haven't mentioned the fact this is also a food drive. Tell me about that, Kathy.
Well, we want to collaborate with other agencies, mm-hmm, and certainly it's very easy for people to bring a couple of cans of food so we can support our local food bank.
Okay. Is that a requirement, or are you just asking for friendly donations at the event? Okay. And again, this happens on May 20th at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront. Again, it's called the Beacon of Hope 5K Run Walk. Elaine Roberts and Kathy Wakefield. Thanks for being on Hampton Roads Topics.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And that's all the time we have on this edition of Hampton Roads Topics. Remember to check out the website, hamptonroadstopics.blogspot.com, for details about past and upcoming shows and to download the podcast. I'm Jim Long. Thanks for listening. I'll see you here on the radio next Sunday morning.